Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, just so you know, I have contributed to a collaborative podcast called You Should Be Here. There is 4 seasons a year, and season 2, which is called Or No, is out now with a number of different podcasters, and all the proceeds go to charity to raise awareness and funds to fight against domestic violence. You can find the podcast, of course, wherever you get your podcasts, and hopefully find your next new favorite, well, besides mine, of course, podcast choosing from True Crime and Headlines, Case Uncovered, Crime with Holly, Least of These, Twisted and Uncorked, Crime to Burn, Truly Twisted, True Crime Cast, Like Mother, Like Murder, and Tragedy with a View. All of them are victim first and all with a different style. So go and binge all of the episodes and please don't skip the ads. It is a big part of how the podcast makes money to give to charity. And that would be all of the proceeds going to charity, not just a cut of it. But first, listen to today's episode and then go to You Should Be Here, because you should be both here and there. And on with today's show.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mr. Anime, and boy, do I have a show for you.
I know you told your friend you're not okay. And tell me what's wrong and why you never said you felt that way. And guess you're trying to stay strong and fake a smile until I look away. But I've known you too long, it hurts to watch your blue eyes fade to gray.
So there is this little known kind of obscure website that you've probably never heard of called YouTube. And it's been known in the last few years, particularly during COVID, to have made some people into like multimillionaires, often for not much more than like uploading videos of themselves buying things online and then trying them on. Now, for those of us that didn't really open up our YouTube little button on our phones, unless we needed to like cook a prime rib medium rare, YouTube all started back in 2005 with a couple of friends called Chad Hurley, Steve Chen, and Jod Karam, who had been working at the time for PayPal. They were design and computer science graduates, and they had this idea for a dating site with videos that you could upload. And it was based out of California. Now, the dating part of it didn't really work out all that well. I mean, I guess a lot of people figured it's harder to catfish people when you have to do a video, I guess. But the platform that they used to upload and view these videos was so user-friendly that they decided that this might be a great way for people to share either videos that they have made themselves or maybe pirated from other places. And it just kind of took off really quickly. And so back in the really early days of YouTube, there was a young kid named Trey Sessler. He had been born August 3rd, 1989, to his parents Rhonda and Lawton in Waller, Texas. And he started a channel called Lens Cap Productions. And he was uploading videos of himself. He would review anime publications, games, and videos. And back then, YouTube was for amateur video people. It still is, technically, but it seems like there's just a lot more expected now of YouTubers to produce videos that are at least a little bit better quality than, say, Ed's used cars commercials, which has a lot more to do with the ease of video editing software. And I don't think any of us are really film producers. Well, I mean, there are probably film producers on YouTube, but most of us are just amateurs. But back in the early days, you could literally just videotape yourself sitting at a table talking about anime and gather a bit of a following. So Trey later added some skits that he would do. He would get like his brother Mark to, and or sometimes his mom and that, to like act in these little skits, just like really goofy stuff that young people like to do. Had the events of today's story not unfolded the way they did, he would probably today be somewhat comparable to like Mr. Beast or something like that. He had over, by 2012, he had over 300 videos on his channel. And all, for the most part, like, although his skits were kind of silly, his reviews were quite good. And so before the days of the whole YouTube algorithm and censorship, it was kind of the Wild West on YouTube, where it was pretty easy actually to get discovered. I remember listening to my kids watch hours of just some guy playing a video game. And so at that time, everybody kind of had their own unique hook to draw in viewers and get discovered. And with this very humble beginnings on YouTube, he started to gain a decent following.
Well, this isn't very good.
In the end, Green needs to burn in the fiery depths of hell. Don't buy it, don't download it, don't even think about it.
Couldn't agree more, Hardy.
All right, man, time for a little food. Shaky, shaky. Shaky, shaky. Oh, hey, oh, yeah, look at that. Oh, oh. Oh, there it is, there it is. Are you fucking kidding me? You're gonna eat this.
Pour in the oven.
Oh, I'll show you some real firepower. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Mr. Anime Reviews. And today I'm reviewing Gantz. Gantz in my pants. Wait a minute. Who the hell wrote this? And did I mention how much of a whiny-ass bitch Kay is in this? He's just so And you know what? The end makes no sense. Fuck this show. Editing in progress. Editing in progress. This is so damn boring. Man, I'm getting sleepy reading this animanga. Real sleepy. Oh, God.
Now, on his Facebook profile, which was personal, it didn't have this any anime reviews of that. He had just said, "I'm Trey, no nicknames or anything. I really like to take it easy and have a nice time. I'm really interested in my education as a college student and really excited about graduating in a few years. I plant things sometimes in the spring like peppers and strawberries. My car is currently the most exciting part of my days. Pleased to meet you though. Take it easy." Just really a normal and wholesome type of kid. He just happened to make these videos. And back in 2006, when he started this, there wasn't a lot of anime reviewers. So he had he was credited for basically kickstarting some careers of some people in this anime community with his reviews, and made some early anime people into like fairly big names in the community. And of course, he did have this decent number of subscribers and was quite well known to at least to people on the internet. And he became known then. He had this sort of like personality name of Mr. Anime. And now, if you're not familiar with the term anime, it just refers to animation that's either hand-drawn or like computer-generated that originates from Japan. And by 2016, anime was about 60% of the world's like TV animation shows. You can tell the style is usually distinguished by the characters have really large exaggerated eyes, because I guess one of the pioneers in Japanese animation was a man named Osamu Tezuka, and he had been influenced by Betty Boop cartoons back in the day. So anyways, anime is a big thing, and watching reviews of it would have been a big thing too. But he didn't actually start his YouTube channel to become rich and famous, because that kind of thing wasn't really predicted in the early days of YouTube as something that would have happened. This was just a way for him to sort of enjoy himself, be creative. Although he did talk about how it would be really cool if he could actually make a living just reviewing anime, which, again, had the events of today's story not unfolded the way they did, I honestly think he could have been making a huge living from it. And he developed this kind of rating scale for anime, and it would start with like a 10, which was was rarely given. Like, that was just, you had to be absolutely super superb show in order to get a 10. He had a 4 was more cons than pros, not too great. 3, very shoddy, not much effort. 2, barely credible as a show, it sucks. And the number 1 was considered total shit. Now, he had been a good student in school. He was described by his friends and anybody who knew him as kind-hearted. He was highly intelligent, and he just really kind of came alive acting in these little short films that he made. And he wasn't particularly outgoing, but he was really friendly with all of his classmates. And he graduated from Waller High in 2007, and then he went on to Blinn University for 2 years, but he left school early to focus more on this video making.
So, after watching Welcome to the NHK and learning about the NEET NEETs, which are people that are not in employment, education, or training, well, they used to be called Status Zero about 20 years ago, but they finally changed them to NEETs, not in employment, education, or training. Technically, since I do a little Googling, I don't totally consider myself a NEET. But this word is somewhat of an insult over in Japan. Not so much. It's not like, you know, you go up to someone and call them a NEETs are looked upon as, you know, the lower range of society. Like, think about it. They're not employed. They have no education prospects. They're not doing any training. So they're just sitting around really doing a bunch of nothing. A lot of people are playing video games. People like myself are wasting time on YouTube.
Now, his brother Mark was 4 years older than him. He had a very similar personality to Trey, and would, again, he would act a lot of times in these little films of his. Now, he had graduated from Sam Houston University in 2010. He had a degree in business administration, but he was continuing to live at home to kind of save up for launching his own career path and life path. Now, Rhonda and Lawton were both really supportive of both of their kids and whatever they wanted to do in their life. Rhonda was working at the Waller Times. She was an editor. She was 57. She's enjoying her job. She loved her boys, and she was a little bit of a homebody, but she was somewhat outgoing. And she was described as having a contagious laugh, according to her coworkers. And she went all out with decorations at Halloween and Christmas. She just really loved decorating. Decorating in general, they had a modest but very well kept home. She was one of those lemonade and cookies kind of mom. She was always really cheery, and she was also featured in some of Trey's videos that he would make. Lawton had married Rhonda 34 years before, so they'd been married a very, very long time. And 30 of those years, he had been teaching fifth grade at Robinson Elementary School. And he was actually spotlighted in the year 2000 and then again in 2006 for outstanding contributions as a teacher. In mid-February of 2012, Trey posted the video that he was going to be taking a break from YouTube for a little bit.
I'm going to reward myself with probably a 2 or 3 week break coming up here from YouTube videos, anime reviews in particular. I might do some blog stuff. I want to thank you guys a lot for sticking with me and watching the channel. I got more subscribers than ever. I have more views than ever, and everything is going really good.
But then on March 13th, so it was almost exactly about a month later, he uploaded a video that, although his break was kind of technically over, he had just gotten a new job. He didn't say exactly what it was, but he said it was in a field that he found fascinating, and it was kind of making it difficult for him to find the time to post a lot of videos, but he still planned on uploading his blog. Now, they called it a blog at that time. Nowadays, it would be called a vlog. And then on March 19th, 2012, there was a neighbor that phoned the police to report that they had thought they heard gunshots from inside the Sessler home. But when the police came out, they didn't really see anything strange, so they just left. Now, this wasn't really all that strange to begin with. Waller, Texas is a town of, it's only about 789 households. It's just outside of Houston. Hearing gunshots in a fairly rural town wouldn't be all that strange. The Sesslers themselves, they did have a fairly extensive gun collection, as did a lot of people in Waller. So it would, but it would be a little bit strange to hear gunshots going off inside a house. But it didn't appear that the neighbors had really heard what they thought they heard because, I mean, everything looked fine. The house didn't even look like there was anybody there. So they weren't surprised that they didn't get an answer at the door. Now, the houses in Waller, this was on Far Street where the family had lived. They're really well spaced apart. They have pretty large yards. So they might have just maybe like heard a car backfiring or something. But the next day after lunch had come and gone and the family member hadn't been able to get a hold of like anyone, and Lawton had not been at work, he hadn't called in, and neither had Rhonda, so the police were asked to go back and do a welfare check on the whole family. So the police arrived again, they knocked loudly announcing their presence, but no one came to the door, so they looked around and they saw that both Rhonda and Lawton's cars were parked outside. So they peered into like the kitchen window. The house was a complete mess. Definitely not the way Rhonda would have kept it, but not like it really wasn't in the way anyone would keep their house, really. I mean, the furniture is overturned. So they looked in. There was a window near the back of the house that looked into a bedroom, and an officer spotted a body that was lying on the floor. So they immediately kicked in the door, searched the house room by room. In the master bedroom was the bloodied and bullet-ridden body of Lawton. In the garage was Rhonda Sessler, and then in the bathroom was 26-year-old Mark Sessler, so Trey's brother. And throughout the house was a mess of, there was casing shells everywhere, broken glass, spatters of blood, and they also, of course, found a Jiffy marker had been used on some of the walls and on the cupboards and in writing a bunch of things. And one of the things that was written was, "I love my mom, dad, and brother. Why did I do this? God forgive me, because I cannot forgive myself." So it wasn't too hard to determine, based on the fact that Trey's vehicle was missing from the driveway and that this crime scene kind of appeared to go like from the front of the house towards the back, that this is probably the work of Trey. But they can't figure out why, because Trey wasn't really known to the police. He, like, there's no reason why he would have done this. He didn't have any history that would ever lead them to believe he was capable of this kind of thing. His car was spotted outside of a house off of Barnett, which was near Magnolia, and that happened to be the house of a friend of Trey's. And without any incident, he was arrested there. He had actually taken a couple of guns and some body armor with him to this house, for some reason that the police probably didn't really want to think about. His aunt, Weta Frierson, she had mentioned to the media that he was being treated for some kind of medical thing. And I did find this one clip where he mentions this himself.
"Hi, everybody. It's Trey here, aka Mr. Anime. And I guess I'm just going to cut right to the chase. No, I'm not quitting YouTube, if that's what some of you guys are thinking. But I've had a little bit of shortness of breath lately and a little bit of back pain and stuff. And I haven't been sleeping too well. My eyes are a little swollen. That's why I'm wearing these sunshades. And it seems like I've got the diagnosis of pneumothorax."
But I hardly think that that explains anything. Like, if anything, it would make him kind of weak and lethargic and have like breathing troubles, not become like psychotic. Now, according to one of his friends, he was being treated for depression. But like, aren't we all these days, kind of? There's no indication that he was ever hospitalized for anything, that he had any serious mental health issues.
A son in jail tonight accused of murdering his mother, his father, and his brother. New tonight, Local 2 Investigates has learned that Trey Sessler may have been plotting a much larger attack in a public place.
It's kind of like losing a family member.
You just wanted your child to get him. I mean, that was just, that's the teacher you wanted. She loved him, and he was a really great guy.
Investigators here now wrapping up their work at the friend's home, where the suspected gunman was often seen killing time, sometimes seen carrying guns into this home. They told us they were looking for computers, they were looking for any writings that might have spelled out his plan and try to figure out who else may have been in danger. Now, these investigators say that they may have more to say tonight, and they may reveal what they found, if anything, inside this home that might give them a look at what this guy was up to. He remains in the Waller County Jail.
During this investigation, and of course, certainly still ongoing, but he took what he felt like was the top eight serial killers graded about what action they took, but he also studied all kinds of mass shootings, just like the Columbine shooting and other school events. But I think in his mind, he was just trying to see the possibility of what he could maybe do in the future to outdo them.
He further admitted to investigators that he studied serial killers to the point of grading their work and researching mass shootings in public areas that included, but not limited to, the Columbine shooting incident. He had thoughts of committing some act of public violence, such as these.
Now, he had no trouble confessing to the murders. He says that he was actually planning on this Columbine-esque shooting at his old school, and he wanted to take out at least 70 people. His goal was to be the worst mass murderer in history. Now, this was 2 years after he was outside of high school, and he never mentioned being bullied or anything like that. He just thought that school shooters were cool for some reason. He said that he had been preparing for doing this by doing some target practice on livestock in the area and then shooting at buildings at in the nighttime, like in the middle of the night. And they also found the family's pet rabbit buried in the yard under a cross that said, "Forgive me." But he knew that if he was going to go through with that, with the school shooting, that he wouldn't want any of his family members to be ashamed of him. So he felt that he had to kill them first. And he said, quote, "The thing about my family is I would protect them with my life. But at the same time, if anyone's going to hurt them, it was going to be me. They were the first immediate human targets in my sight. If I was going to go out and do anything, they would have to go," end quote.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Now, I will play some clips of him speaking for himself here in a little bit. I just want to walk through this stuff first. But without anybody really knowing about Trey, his mind had sort of recently begun to slip a little bit. He thought about murder a lot. He was studying serial killers. He had come up with this grading system for them, and he started to look into like school shooters and learning about weapons. Now, this rating system for the serial killers was probably a similar rating system for what he was using for his anime. During this time, though, his YouTube channel content didn't change all that much. He was still doing reviews and these skits, but the skits, I guess, had become a little bit more dark. And he would sometimes film himself doing this target practice at night and shooting at buildings, and including some of the target practice he was doing on livestock. So this behavior was criminal in nature, of course, but for anyone that was watching, at least for the audience that he had that was watching, they would have just thought that it was, I guess, kind of funny that this guy's going around at night shooting at buildings. Like, they wouldn't have seen it like as anything like escalating into something that was going to be really bad. And then in February of 2012 is when he went on to YouTube and said that he was going to be taking this break from uploading. And then for whatever reason, he chose March 19th. He lured his mom into the garage under the ruse of some car trouble that he was having. And this was really early in the morning. He shot her with a 22 caliber rifle. He told police, "I was like, well, I'm already committed, really. Can't really go to my brother and dad and be like, yeah, I just killed our mom." His older brother, Mark, had, of course, come out of the bedroom to investigate. He said to him, "I don't know what you're doing out there, but it was really loud." Now, Trey didn't say anything to him, just walked past him into his room and grabbed his Glock 9mm. Quote, I don't say anything to him. I just quietly walk past him, go into my room. I pick up my Glock 9mm that's full of TAP-FPD hollow point rounds, and I go into the hallway and point it at him. So Mark was shot twice. He then ran into the bathroom and locked the door behind him. Now, Lawton was in bed. He was sleeping. He heard the shots, and he started to sort of wake up. But he didn't even really have time to get out of bed before Trey was in the room standing near him and then shot him twice as well. He then walked back to the bathroom door where his brother was. He shot 6 rounds into the door and then kicked open the door and saw Mark was laying there in a fetal position, shot him one last time in the head, telling the investigators, and I was like, okay, I guess that's got him. And then he went back to the garage to check on his mom. Quote, mom hasn't moved, so I'm thinking, well, she's probably dead, but I popped 2 rounds at her just to make sure, end quote. He then killed the family's pet ferret, shot up the fish tank, and then just completely trashed the house. Quote, I didn't want anyone to be suffering, lying on the floor for hours, moaning and groaning. So I was like, I've got to retrace with a more powerful weapon and shoot them again, end quote. He then took this small arsenal of guns, weapons, and drove to the parking lot of Waller High School. He considered doing this school shooting that he had always kind of wanted to do. He figured that maybe homecoming would have been a better option, telling the police, right after I had killed the family, it was on my mind to do, and I'm like, there's an opportunity, go ahead, go get them. I was thinking I could creep across the field and open up on the home fans and probably cause more mayhem with people trying to get away and falling on each other than actual bullets. I don't think a period of 2 or 3 days ever went by that I didn't think about some sort of violent act.
The thing about my family is I would protect them with my life, but at the same time, if anyone was going to hurt them, it was going to be me. And I fire about 4 times, and I don't know where she gets hit, but I know it's somewhere in the torso area. After I did that, it was like, well, I'm already committed, really. Can't really go to my brother and my dad and be like, yeah, I just killed our mom. And my brother's lying there in this big pile of blood. It's terrible. It's just a bad sight. And I was like, okay. I guess that's got him. Kind of gets up half asleep, you know, he's like, oh, you know, he doesn't know what's going on. So I run in there, I shoot at him a couple times. I don't want anyone to be suffering, laying on the floor for hours, moaning and groaning. They were the first immediate human targets in my sight. And if I was going to go out and do anything, they would have to kill the family. It was on my mind to do that. Creep across the field and open up on the home stands and probably cause more mayhem with people trying to get away. I don't think a period of 2 or 3 days ever went by that I didn't think about some sort of
Now, in the end, for whatever reason, he packed up his guns and then drove over to his friend's house to hide out without going through with the school shooting, which thankfully he felt that maybe at that time, maybe it was all just becoming too real for him. So he was, of course, charged with capital murder. He was held on a $3 million bond. And then in August of 2012, he pled guilty to the murders of both of his parents and his brother. And so that automatically came with a life sentence with no opportunity for parole at all. And at the sentencing, his defense attorney, who was Franklin Blazek, said, this is a great tragedy. There was no good outcome. So Trey felt comfortable with the sentence and the survivors of the victims can now have closure. The community will be protected. That seems like the best outcome, end quote. Now, here's the really strange part of all of this. Trey says that the reason that he did it was too much alcohol, too many drugs, and too much exposure and study of violence to where it didn't seem like it was going to faze him to do that. But he had no prior signs that anyone would have ever thought that he was capable or would do something like this. Like, he was considered empathetic. He was patient. He was kind-hearted, and he was a decent student. He adored his brother and both of his parents. He was featuring them in his films. The relationship always looked quite loving. His parents were supportive of him and the videos that he was making. And if he was going to go down that career path, they would have supported him. He might have been depressed, but he was being treated for it. In fact, the police found a sticky note from his mom the day of the shootings that said that she had filled his prescription for him of Xanax. And again, that was just before he killed them. He had not been bullied in school, and he was 2 years out of school. So any trauma from school wasn't fresh at the time anyways. And honestly, I think that if not for these events, I honestly think he would be quite a big YouTuber at this time, making a lot of money had he not done this. So this whole case doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't think anybody could have seen it coming. And although his content sometimes had weapons in it, I mean, it wasn't like, say, Elliot Rodgers, who's like slowly filming his manifesto. I think it's just a really strange motive, especially for killing his parents. He is now in his 30s. He's incarcerated at the C.T. Terrell unit in Brazoria County, Texas. He's going to be there for the rest of his life. On September 30th of 2020, his YouTube channel was terminated. But then on July 29th of 2024, his channel, for some reason, was unterminated and then was terminated again 2 days later on the 31st of July. And then on August 14th of 2024, it came back again. And then a couple of his videos are supposed to be there's the Mr. Anime is planning something and Mr. Anime's new job were taken down due to some kind of privacy claims by a third party. But like, I was able to find them, like they're here. So I'm curious what you think. Like, do you think that there's always signs and they were maybe just not picked up in this case with Trey? Do you think that watching violence can lead young minds to carry out violence themselves? Like, can you really be desensitized to violence that you wouldn't know that killing a real person isn't like the way it is in a video game or a movie or a graphic novel? And I've always kind of wondered this about violence, because of course I've been a true crime, been interested in true crime since I was really like a child. I was interested in true crime even before my niece was actually murdered by an actual person and actually died. And I found that experience, of course, to be horrific. I had a lot of trauma and sort of pain over that. So I don't feel that I've ever been desensitized to violence just because I read about it a lot and hear about it. If anything, it's actually made me more empathetic towards it, because I understand how the family members feel afterwards and the effects, like the sort of the ripple effects of it. So I guess I just never understood when people say, you know, like, oh, you can't, watching violent video games or whatever makes a person desensitized. I think your mind already has to be somewhere dark for you to think that taking the life of a real human being would be anything like the way it is in a video game. So in that case, do you think that he's just kind of like another Ted Bundy or like an Ed Kemper who's, you know, able to disguise himself as normal in society, but he's, you know, doing these horrific acts in secret, and that he just wasn't very good at covering it up? Like, usually a serial killer will choose an MO that conceals, like, usually the bodies now, like dismemberment, shallow graves, wooded areas, those kinds of things. And shooting up houses, like, I think that kind of leads a trail that's pretty easy to follow. And I tried to follow up on Trey to see if like he's been interviewed lately or anything in the last few years. Maybe his perspective has changed, how he's managing in prison, if he's behaving himself, making any kind of meaningful change. And I couldn't find anything. And I'm curious if it could be that because he knows that it's life in prison and he has no chance of parole, that he's just kind of become institutionalized. But I'd be really interested to hear if he has any insight into his 22-year-old mind now that some years have passed. It's a really interesting case. Like, I'm always fascinated by people that take out family members, especially when there just really appears to be no real motive and no indication of any real significant mental illnesses. Like, why somebody would wake up one morning and decide that this was what they were going to do. But anyways, I'm going to be back again next week with another perplexing case. Let me know your thoughts on this. You can do that in the comments section or on Instagram, or you can email me at amillionotherchoices@outlook.com. And thank you so much for listening.
I know you told your friend you're not okay. And tell me what's wrong and why you never said you felt that way. Cause you're trying to stay strong and fake a smile until I look away. But I've known you too long, it hurts to watch your blue eyes fade to gray as you fade away.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.